sahana bhavatu, sahana bhunaktu, saha viryam karavavahai, tejasvinavadhitamastu ma vidvishavahai. Om shanti shanti shanti.
Okay. Verse 5. Om Manas Chakshura Derva Yukta Swayam Yaha. Manas Chakshura Derva Yukta Swayam Yaha. Manas Chakshura Der Manas Chakshura Dihi.
Manas Chakshura Der Manas Chakshura Dihi.
Manas Chakshura Der Agamyas. Manas Chakshura Der Agamyas Swarupaha.
Manas Chakshura Dera
Agamya Swarupaha
Agamya Swarupaha
Sanityo Palabdhi Swarupo Hamatma
Sanityo Palabdhi Swarupo Hamatma
Manaha Chakshuhu Adehi Viyuktaha Swayam Yaha Manaha Chakshuhu Adehi Manaha Chakshuhu Adihi Manaha Chakshuhu Adehi Agamya Swarupaha Saha Nitya Upalabdhi Swarupaha Aham Atma. So Saha ayam atma, I am that atma, nitya upalabdhi swarupaha. Again, continually answering Shankara's question. I am myself, that the self that I am is limitless consciousness, timeless consciousness. I am that self which is timeless consciousness. Nitya upalabdhi, whose swarupa, whose very being, whose very nature is timeless consciousness. Then, who, yaha, who itself, swayam yaha, who itself is manaha chakshuhu adehe viyuktaha. Viyuktaha, yuktaha means joined with, connected with. Viyuktaha means completely free, not connected with what the mind and the sense organs and the organs of action. So when you say manas, with the adi, it goes manaha adi. That which begins with the mind. That which begins with the mind encompasses the four functions of the mind. Right? The buddhi, your intellect, fluctuating mind that contains the emotions, the chitta, the memory. You can add the unconscious in there. The chitta, right? The chitta, and also the ahankara. So the buddhi, manas, chitta, ahankara, all included in the manas. And then when it says chakshuradi, beginning with the chakshu. Chakshu means your eyes. That will include all five sense organs. And because the sense organs are indriyas, so it means organs, sense organs, you can also include, and they do in the commentary, the organs of action, right? So the sense organs are your five sense organs, and the organs of action are those which allow your body to walk and talk and move and to move and evacuate all the waste and your sexual organs and all those are the organs of action where the sukshma shriya embodies this physical body in terms of the activities the body can perform. Sukshma shriya, the subtle body, embodies the sense organs, right? With subtle sense organs, the sense physical sense organs, so that they can all function. And then it embodies the prana, so that the whole sukshma shriya embodies the body, embodies the physical body, so that all of the organs can function. It embodies the mind, so all of the different functions of the brain, the functions of the of our mind can take place. Right? So he says, I am that one who is free, completely free from the body, mind, sense organs. Right? But it, just the whole gamut. And I'm the one who's kubiyukta, not connected with, not associated with, absolutely free from the body, mind, sense organs. But then he says, manas chakshura dehe, manas chakshura dehe. But I am the mind of the mind, the eyes of the eyes, the ears of the ears, the buddhi of the buddhi, the hands of the hands, the feet of the feet. So when he says, see, this says, manas chakshura dehe, that in the genitive, right? So of these, this whole body, mind, sense organs complex, I am the manas chakshura dehe. It's like saying in the Kena Upanishad, it starts out with, I am the ear of the ear, the eye of the eye, the mind of the mind. It goes on like that. Because I am, even though I am totally free of all of these things, I am the very consciousness which they enjoy. So if you remove the consciousness from the eye, it's no longer, it's like a dead, non-functioning instrument. It's no longer an eye for me. If I take the consciousness away, where's the eye? If I take the consciousness away from the mind, where's the mind? It's not a mind anymore, because it's not a conscious being. You know? So I am the very being, the very truth, the very self of the eye. I am the self of the ears. I am the self of my thoughts. I am the self of my emotions. I am the self of my hands and the self of my feet. So if you take the consciousness away, you know, what you end up with is a dead body, basically. A dead body that is not functioning in any way. So I am the eye of the eye, the ear of the ear, etc. And he says, though all of these, I am both free of all of these sense organs, and at the same time, I am the self. I am the very eye of the eye, the ear of the ear, the mind of the mind, and the very being of all of these. And the very being of the mind, etc. Okay. Still, then he says, "Manas chakshura dehe agamya surupaha," and at the same time, I am not. I am agamya. My nature, my swarupa, means my nature is agamya. It's something that cannot be reached by the eyes or by the mind or by the buddhi. It's agamya. It's not available for their knowledge. I cannot become an object. My mind cannot reach me. My ears cannot reach me. My ears cannot hear me. My eyes cannot see me. I am agamya. Gam, the root gam, means to go. Gamya is a potential participle. It means that which can be reached, right? You're going, it can be gone. It can be reached, that's the idea. Agamya. Gamya. Agamya means no. There's no way to go to it. It's not reachable. There's nothing, nowhere you can go to get to it. And you can't go anywhere to get to it. There's two reasons. Two really important reasons. First of all, you can't get to it or go reach it because you're already there, because you already are that. So there's no going. Right? There is nowhere to go, inside or outside. Sometimes we understand it very clearly in terms of we can't go outside because then I would be a little object over there somewhere. Right? And even if we have the big self, little self notion, we don't think of the big self as some big self out there in the world somewhere. And if we have the big self, little self notion, then we can think through meditation, pranayama, meditation, concentration, my mind and focus, my mind can reach the self and merge into it, something like that we can think. But that's not so. The self that you are is already was already the big self. You are already the big self. You are at this moment, no matter what your mind is doing, no matter what emotional state you're in, you are 100% present, and you are not covered by those states. That's another type of reaching. The only way I can really reach myself is to remove all of these vrittis, all of these different types of thoughts from my mind. I have to stop. I have to stop my mind. And then I'll reach myself in terms of myself becoming present, because now it's being covered by the curtain of my negative thoughts or my emotions. They're like a curtain. Even though I'm there, I'm behind the curtain, and so I can't see it. It's very tricky how the mind is. And the mind thinks the ahankar is there. I can't see it because I have these pratibandhakas, these obstructions that are in my way. I must remove these obstructions, and then I, the mind, the manas, the me, can see the self. But now the ahankar is still. Your I notion is still with that mind, right? So the mind has to do something, get rid of the pratibandhakas that are like a curtain covering me. That also is not true. That is not true. Because the mind does not enjoy the sentiency to be looking at anything. Right? So there is no covering, just like the clouds don't cover the sun. You can see how if the ahankar is with the little person on the beach looking up at the cloudy sky, you know. So here's this little person who says, you know, I am the little self looking up at the cloudy sky, waiting for it to pass so that I can see the sun. Right? If the ahankar is there with the jiva, right, then it has to wait for the opportunity to come in contact with the big self sun, you know, which requires the clouds moving. Could be a really heavy thunderstorm too. It could take a lot of time to get those clouds to move. Yeah. But what if the aham is where it belongs with the sun? The sun doesn't have to move the clouds. It doesn't have to move anything. Nothing. It illumines the clouds. So from the standpoint of the sun, how are the clouds covered in any way? There's no covering at all. There's just me as I am, the sun, and the clouds that are what happen to be what I'm objectifying right now, what is there to be illumined. For the sun, what is there to be illumined right now might be some clouds. It might be wispy clouds. It might be a thunderstorm. It might be lightning. It might be clear sky. Absolutely clear sky. But what is happening to the sun? Is the sun, just imagine the sun is saying, oh my gosh, it's a thunderstorm, it's raining. I just feel like I'm soaking wet, you know, and I feel dark. You know? It's not going to happen. Or what happens when it's completely clear out? Ah, the sun is saying, thank goodness it's clear out. Now I can really be myself. Now I can really shine. Yeah. Not going to happen. Sun is the sun. Whatever is there in the environment, in its realm, is illumined. From its standpoint, it's simply me, the sun. And so this is our situation in myself in reference to all experience, positive and negative. Positive and negative. And so whatever, even the most despairing or dark, cloudy, you know, rainstorm, thunderstorm type of vrittis that you have, despairing vrittis, those vrittis are still illumined by me. And I am not lost or covered in those dark vrittis. And I am also not illuminated, you know, and kind of improved upon by the subtle vrittis, the quiet vrittis. Not at all. So this is sometimes difficult for us to grasp, because we have the notion that I am the vritti. Means when the vrittis, you know, vritti is thought modification, right? Everybody remembers vritti is thought modification. when the thought modifications become quiet, peaceful, shanti, like the very clear water bucket, then I am with myself. I am with myself. And when they're very dense and dark, depressed, myself is covered. Well, there is some truth to that from the standpoint of the vritti. The dark vritti means the depressed vritti or the agitated or the hurt vritti. But from its own standpoint, you know, it does not resonating with me. That's why it has, it's on the painful side of the spectrum. Because it doesn't resonate with me. It's not as though it's not reflecting me. And so it feels more like an intruder rather than like myself. Right? That's the negative vrittis. The positive vrittis resonate with me. You know what resonate means? Like they're in the same vibe as I am. You know, they're not of a different sort. They're similar to me in nature, and that's why we use the example of the reflection of the sun. The sun is so bright in this positive spectrum, and so the mind says, "Oh, I feel finally like myself." This is the mind talking. This is the mind with the ahankara, who has identified me, the satchit, with the mind and any condition that is in the mind. And so, of course, the mind will say that. Because of the ajnanam, because of the ahankara, in these negative spectrum, I am so unhappy, I am so dark, I hope it passes. I don't know if it will, you know, how that lasts forever, we are afraid. So, because I'm identifying with a state of mind as myself, and that state of mind doesn't resonate with who I actually am. And so it's very painful. Positive spectrum, very joyous. And the ahankara, the because of self-ignorance, which has identified me with the state of mind, right? Then says, I'm so happy, this is how I'm supposed to be, this is who I am, this is beautiful, I hope it doesn't go away. But unfortunately, I am identifying, I am very much there as the satchit, we'll see that in a moment, but I'm identifying with the experience. And my being has totally confused with the experience of the vritti, because I have no viveka, I haven't sorted that out yet. And so whatever the experience is, I am. And when yourself is dependent on the vrittis come and go, come and go, and come and go, and so ananda changes into dukkha, and dukkha changes into peacefulness, and then ananda, it's going back and forth, the whole spectrum of emotion that as a jiva you are very capable of. And because you're a jiva, jiva means the ignorance, self-ignorance, because you're a jiva, you're very, very capable of taking yourself to be on this roller coaster ride from different moods of dukkha to different moods and variations of sukha. So from heaven to hell and back, it's like that. And wildly going out of control. It has to be out of control because the mind, by its nature, is always, always changing. You don't have a snapshot. It's a movie. It's always moving, 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 moving. And because of self-ignorance, my ananda, my fullness, my wholeness, the wholeness of my being is projected out under this object and that object, which is also moving, 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 moving. No snapshot. The perfect object has come at the perfect time to me as the perfect person who really wants that object, and in that moment all is well, and I have some ananda. And then moving, 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 it goes into a different constellation that is not happy for me. And so I am on this continual roller coaster ride. Why? Because no viveka, no discrimination yet to realize these are vrittis, not me. These are vrittis. These are thought modifications. These, all of these moods, they're in flux. They're thought modifications. They're objectified by me. You're aware of when you're happy. You're aware of when you're sad. You're aware of when you're agitated. You're aware of when you're having fun. All of the variety of vrittis those things are actually illumined by you. You're not the vritti. Just like the sun is not the water or the reflection. The sun is the sun. It's like the previous example, if I hold up a mirror to my face, I am not abiding in that mirror. My self-experienced me is not in the mirror. The me belongs to me, you know? And so here, what we need to discover with the viveka, the discrimination is to recognize, first, the vrittis are vrittis. They're objectified. And I am, like the sun, the luminary, the one who abides illumining each one of those vrittis, whether it be a sukha vritti or a dukkha vritti. I'm the consciousness that's illumining them. They're not illumining me back.
Right.
I'm the luminary. I'm the only luminary, in fact. And all of these different types of experiences are rising and setting. They're coming and going, coming and going, coming and going. In me, the silent, changeless, timeless consciousness, which is ever-present. The me is ever-present. And I have my own nature. Right? I have my own nature. My nature is not really reflected in a vritti. All we say are the positive vrittis resonate with my nature. They are not identical with my nature. Because the positive vrittis keep changing. You know, I'm kind of happy. I'm really happy. I am in bliss. This is a meditative state. I am feeling so much compassion. I'm so in love. I feel so much love for my child. I feel so much love for my little pet. These are all variants, right? They're all different. Different degrees of love, different degrees of liking. They go on changing as the vrittis and the subtlety and kind of a, you call it like the fabric of the vritti becomes more subtle, more expanded, this and that, giving you slightly different experiences that all resonate with you. But you are not a changing experience. You are not modifying in any way. So your being, the fullness of your being, is what it is. And it needs to be recognized and differentiated from the positive vrittis that resonate with it and are as though reflections, but not really. I would say they resonate with it, so you're very comfortable, you know. But even in a sukha vritti, you can differentiate, even though it's a subtle, you can differentiate your own presence from the vritti itself, from the happy vritti, from the sukha vritti, from the ananda vritti. You can differentiate your own presence unless the vritti has totally absorbed into yourself. I'll talk to you about that later. You can make that differentiation. And when you make that differentiation, what you realize is that you are clearly, fully present as you are. Just like in the sun analogy, the sun is not touched by the rain cloud. It does not become rainy. It does not become dark. It stays exactly as it is. So in the positive spectrum, I am what I am. In the negative spectrum, I am what I am. It's not that one or the other covers me. It's only true that one or the other is more comfortable. From the standpoint of the mind, the sukha vrittis are more comfortable because they're truer to my nature. The dukkha vrittis are less comfortable, right? Because they don't resonate with me. But I'll tell you, for a jnani, you don't really care either way. It doesn't really matter. Because you are the sun, you know? And all of these vrittis are more or less interesting. It's like salt and pepper and chilies, you know? You have salt and pepper and chilies and sugar and all of these various, you know, spices. And you don't say, no chilies, no chilies, no pepper, no pepper. In fact, just give me sugar. You know? You know? If you have a palate, you know, all of these are whatever they are. They're Ishwara. They're what they are. You are free. You are not becoming any one of them. You know? And when that yourself has been recognized, you know, and differentiated from all of these changing experiences, then you're much more free to have them because you remain exactly the same. So when we say, I am the, as the very conscious being which illumines all of these body, mind, sense organs, I'm the luminary, you know, but at the same time, I'm completely viyukta. I'm completely free from them, right? And it says, I am their very self, as the eye of the eye and the ear of the ear. It means the consciousness, the luminary of your eyes, the luminary of your ears, the luminary, the consciousness of your mind is me. Right? And at the same time, I am free from all of you. O eyes, I am free from you. Ears, I am free from you. Emotions, I am free from you. Thoughts, I am free from you. Then there's this problem. That is true, but the mind and the sense organs themselves, as mithya, as being the luminary and themselves not being the conscious entity, do not have the power or the capacity as sense organs and as mind, and of course organs of action, but say just sense organs and mind, they don't have the capacity to turn around and illumine me. They can't turn around and illumine me. They can only be illumined, right? Because there's only one luminary. Otherwise, hello, hello. You know, not so. There's no hello, hello. So, I am the luminary. I'm the consciousness which illumines them and gives them their very being. And then they are part, they exist within this creation of duality, just like in the dream, how all of the dream characters exist within the dream. And notice in the, just think of the dream for a minute, this is a good analogy. In the dream, the eyes of the dream character and ears and sense of touch, the five sense organs of the dream character, are designed not to look at the waking state, not to look at the nature of the self, but only to their what we call their vishya, their area, you know, is simply the object of the sense organs. For the eyes, it's color form. For the ears, it's sound. That's what they're capable of doing, right? And they can only do it within the sphere of their world, the world where they exist, where the sense organs, these physical sense organs, and the sukshma sharira, you can say, is there. The sense organs match the and exist within the reality that they exist in, right? And so the dream character with us all of its eyes, sense organs, and mind and everything can't just like, let me go see what's going on in the waking state over there, you know? Or it says, let me just switch around and be with myself for a while. No, that's not its sphere. It's not its sphere. It cannot do it. And now what about the mind? The mind could not be more with myself than it is. True with the sense organs also, but the mind needs to use the sense organs as instruments, so it's even closer to me. It can just be daydreaming, the sense organs are sitting there on standby. They're not being used until you use them. But the mind is always, as long as the mind is awake, right, it is fully pervaded by the self. Pervaded is even a ridiculous word. It's like saying the clay, you know, it totally pervades the pot. We say it, but then you have to make a joke about it, right? It's not pervading the pot. It is the pot. There is no, the pot is mithya. It has no being away from the clay at all, right? The pot doesn't. So the mind couldn't be more me. I am itself. But the mind gains knowledge, right? So that it's the mind's experience is me, right? I am its very being. I am its aham. I am its I. Truly, I am Brahman, the truth of myself is itself. But the mind has ajnanam. It has ignorance. It has self-ignorance because all of its means of knowledge are really based upon pratyaksha. Pratyaksha means sense perception. Even our inferences, you know, our inferences and our presumptions, the presumptions that we make, or what we call anupalabdhi, non-cognition, like I can tell you there's no elephant in the room with certainty. That's a means of knowledge. I can make comparisons, all of these type of things. I can give indirect knowledge. There's all kinds of ways that we have available to us to know something. But all of them are based, in the end, on sense perception. Now, sense perception, just for you who are overly thinking. I can see the appropriate thoughts going on. There are two types of perception, actually. Two types. One is called, you know, pratyaksha, sense perception, what gives us direct, immediate knowledge through our senses, and from that we can make inferences and presumptions and all different types of, gain all types of knowledge, different types of indirect knowledge. I can give you a class on that at some point. It's a little relevant right now. Just know that we gain our knowledge through sense perception. That's one type of perception. The second type of perception is called sakshibhasya. And those perceptions are the perceptions that become immediately available to me, like, for instance, meditative experiences, memories, emotions. I'm not looking at emotion, you know, but emotions are generated, imaginations are generated, unconscious material comes up, you know. Meditative states are also generated, you know. But none of those states, which I illumine, remove self-ignorance. For instance, the closest one you might think of, yeah, but if I have a meditative state, what if I have a nirvikalpa samadhi state, which means that my mind is having, for whatever reason, you know, I'm walking along, all of a sudden I have this incredible non-dual state where there's only conscious being, that's all, and then I come back from it. That's what we call a nirvikalpa. What we actually call that is a jada. Jada nirvikalpa samadhi means a nirvikalpa samadhi that didn't take place with knowledge. They had this non-dual state, so my mind has the state of experience that's direct and immediate. Pratyaksha, when we say pratyaksha, we mean direct and immediate. So that can also be generated by the sakshibhasya. Sakshibhasya means that which is illumined, bhasya, by the sakshi, by the awareness. Okay? But say you've generated there through pranayama or for whatever reason, you've generated a meditative state, a very subtle meditative state. When the mind comes back from that meditative state, it will say, I had this wonderful meditative state. It was non-dual. There was only, you can even say like this, there was only my being, there was only consciousness there, you know? And now that becomes the big self, because the next thing is, how can I get that again? You know, it's not the next thing is not, I am that. The ahankara, the mind says, how can I get that state again? Where is that? How can I just be that? I know that's the truth. I know that is me. How can I become that? So that's the ultimate experience that the mind can have without knowledge, still leaves the mind with it in that state of ajnanam, because there's still the subject-object differentiation between me and that meditative state. The ahankara still exists as the body-mind-sense-organs complex, and it has had the most wonderful state, you know. In fact, this is a little funny aside. One fellow in the Bay Area, in the Berkeley area, who I actually have a lot of respect for him. He's a character. He's really kind of a real character. He must be around late 50s, early 60s, something like that. And he does a lot of spiritual teaching, you know, but he tries also to be very honest and very real with his experiences, you know. And so I think he had a very profound meditative experience, some sort of samadhi experience. And of course, when you have something like that, no knowledge, or I'm not talking about any knowledge or anything, but it's very transformative, and it will linger on for a while, the effects of the powerful type of meditative experience. And so, honest guy that he is, you know, he wrote... This is really a great story. he wrote to all his big mailing list. He wrote to all of his students and people who come to satsang with him. I want you to know that I am now enlightened. It has finally happened. He said, it has finally happened, and I just want to make that announcement that I have achieved that now. I got this email. I've achieved this, you know, and I'm now enlightened, and I want to invite you all to satsang and everything to celebrate this enlightenment, you know. And so this went out to everybody, and then I didn't go to the satsang, he lives in the city. So I guess his students all came, and everything was going on really well. He was enlightened and everything for 2 or 3 weeks. Because that's how long it was, a blast of, you know, absorption and the wonder of that tremendous freedom of your being, you know. Okay. Then in about three weeks or so, 4 weeks, he sends out another letter and he goes, I'm really sorry. I was mistaken. I thought I was enlightened, but now all this stuff is coming back, and it's really disappointing. It's not true, and I just wanted you all to know. And then we'll keep having satsang. Yeah. I thought that was so neat.
Yeah.
It's so real, you know? It's so real. This guy comes to class every now and then, and I'm always really happy to see him. It's very real. You know, he's not fooling around. I mean, he's not clear yet, right? He's just applies himself to so many different thises and thats and thises and thats. So he has this big amalgam of all of this stuff going on in his head, and he hasn't sorted itself out yet. You know, but he did that, and then he kind of laughs about it, and that's the end of it. I thought that was very cool. So anyway, this verse. These mind sense organs do not have the capacity to turn around and look at me, to on my own gain self-knowledge. Because you can gain a lot of knowledge, but to lot of knowledge, even a lot of spiritual knowledge, a lot of book learning, a lot of ideas, lots and lots of insights. But the ahankara, the I notion, is still with your mind. And so all of this information, all of these experiences, profound experiences that you've gained, still the ahankara has not moved at all. It's not moved at all, you know. And so you still remain as a jiva, because the mind is not capable of gaining those experiences. So there's two things to understand here when you say, first thing is that the self can't be reached, right, from its own standpoint. Just like the sun can't reach the sun. It already is the sun. So if the sun, you know, somehow, by some ajnanam that it had, didn't recognize that it was the luminary, right, there's nothing it can do to remove that condition, right? It has to know. It has to gain knowledge that I am the sun, right? I am the sun. There's nowhere for me to go. I am that. It has to recognize its own being, right? It can't go and reach it somewhere, you know? It can't polish it up. There's nothing it can do. It is that. And we're like that too. There is nothing I can do to become myself. Like Swamiji sometimes jokes and says, you know, you can't grow another head on your shoulders. makes a long story, like, he went to this fellow went to Bhagawan and was given a boon, and he says, I want another head on my shoulders to Bhagawan. And Bhagawan thinks, I cannot give you that. No, I want another hit. I cannot give you that. Why? Why? Because it's already there. It's already there. You ask me for something else. You know, ask me for something that's not there. You know? So say I want to somehow gain myself, reach myself in some way to know myself. Let me get there and know it. Let me travel to myself and then know it. No, there's no travel. There's no going. There's no getting there. You already are that. And so the only problem, there is no problem actually from your own standpoint, from the standpoint of the sun has no problem. The mind has a problem. The mind's, and the mind, it's not the mind's fault, it's beginningless. It's a beginningless problem. And that problem is self-ignorance of the nature of the self. And it has ignorance of the self, not because it's stupid, but because the means of knowledge that are available to it cannot give that. It can be that. It being mitya, and its truth being satyam, like the pot is the clay, even though it may not know, it may think that the clay belongs to it, and when it cracks, the clay will go. It may have ignorance like that. But it is that. And its self-experience is only the clay. And my self-experience of my mind, my sense organs, and body is only me. So this very intimate me that I am is the truth, is Brahman. But my mind thinks that I am it. And it is always changing. So it doesn't differentiate the stable conscious me that remains always in touch like the sun. It doesn't have any means of knowledge to do that differentiation. No means of knowledge also even to recognize that it is one with Ishvara and that the self that it enjoys is the self in all beings. So it needs a mirror to be held up. It needs a pramana, a means of knowledge to hold up a mirror to your own being. And then it can see. And it's like, how could I have never not seen this? Shankara says in his Adhyasa Bhasha, which is the final text that you study in this little commentary, he says, it's amazing that this ignorance exists and we could not see something that is so obvious. Once you see it, it is so obvious. But for to get it, to recognize it, the mind needs a means of knowledge that comes from outside of itself to hold up a mirror. And that is exactly what the Upanishads are. They're a mirror. They're a teaching. They are a teaching methodology that act as a means of knowledge, just like your eyes are a means of knowledge for seeing form and color. Without your eyes, you can't see that. Without a means of knowledge, which the Upanishads function as that, you can't see yourself. The mind can't perform that differentiation. It's not exactly a seeing yourself. It's removing the ajnanam. It's called ajnana nivritti. It's removing the ignorance that caused the mind to superimpose the self onto it and the mind onto itself. That ajnanam, that ignorance, has to be removed. And it's removed very easily, in fact. Easily and more and difficult. It's very easy and it's difficult. You know. But the Upanishads remove that ajnanam being removed, what do you have to do? Nothing, because there's nothing to do. What could you do? It's not about doing. It's about removing the ignorance that has caused that superimposition. So that being removed, that's the end of it. And you go, what about my mind? Well, the mind has this problem and that problem and this problem. And that's that antakarana shuddhi, that purity of mind where the mind can just naturally abide. Then there's karma yoga and various means that we employ to take care of the emotional lag time of the mind. Because the mind has been through how much trauma, beginningless trauma, because of living in this ignorance. It gains knowledge, the buddhi gains knowledge, it sees clearly, understands, knows my being is totally differentiated, it has clarity of knowledge, but there's an emotional lag time in terms of of all of the traumas I've had. I'll tell you more about that. We'll deal more with that this afternoon. Okay? That's it.
Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi Harihi Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Hari Om.